Break the Chains of Human Trafficking, an awareness podcast presented by Mike Seibert Radio in conjunction with Federal Way Coalition Against Trafficking. It will take a community effort to eliminate human trafficking in our community. We invite you to join us. My name is Mike. I am your host, and thank you for downloading and sharing this podcast. The Cowlitz Indian Tribe Pathways to Healing program is a featured exhibitor in the vendor area during the 7th annual Break the Chains of Human Trafficking 5K Awareness Walk happening Saturday, May 18th at the Commons Mall in Federal Way. The mission of the Cowlitz Tribal Pathways to Healing program is to honor traditional values and beliefs that promote safety and well-being for Native American and Alaska Native families by providing a holistic approach to inform, educate, and heal our communities affected by violence. I had the pleasure of touring the Cowlitz Tribal Health Facility located on traditional Duwamish lands in Tukwila and had a great conversation with Program Coordinator Chelsea Hendrickson and Advocate Judy Johnston. We discussed the services that the Pathways to Healing program offers, but we also get deeper and learn more about the sex trafficking of missing and murdered Indigenous women and of other missing Natives, men and gender fluid Two-Spirit folks too, as well as having a passionate discussion about the perception that Indigenous peoples are more vulnerable to trafficking situations and what we have to do to change that perception. I learned a lot, and I hope you will as well.
Dos niake hithiti naku sech naha sehise na anagach. Hi, good morning. My name is Chelsea Hendrickson. I'm the program coordinator for the Pathways to Healing program at the Cowlitz Tribal Health Clinic here in Tukwila, Washington. I also have a part-time job. I'm a youth advocate at the Labatia Youth Home, and that's with the United Indians of All Tribes Foundation in Ballard, Washington.
Good morning. I'm Judy Johnston. I'm the Pathways to Healing advocate here in Tukwila.
Why don't we talk about what Pathways to Healing is, just kind of like as a overview.
So Pathways to Healing is a program that started by Debbie Hassler. She's a Cowlitz tribal member, and approximately 2004, she started providing domestic violence and sexual assault advocacy about 8 hours a week. That's the first grant. When I came along in 2006, she had obtained a larger grant and was starting to put together a steering committee. And so she put together a program that started with herself as manager and then an advocate, for one for domestic violence and one for sexual assault. And over the last few years, she has grown that program so that now we're in three locations. We're located at the main office for the Cowlitz Tribe in Longview in Vancouver, Washington, and then up here in Tukwila. We have those nine staff. There's the manager, there's two mental health therapists, two program coordinators, three advocates,
and one
community coordinator. Yeah. So I hope those numbers all added up right. And so we're doing a lot of work in not just doing advocacy for domestic violence, sexual assault, commercial sexual exploitation survivors, and elder abuse survivors, but we're also doing free mental health therapy for folks who qualify. You have to identify as Native American or Alaska Native, or be using any of the other programs here at the Cowlitz Tribe, and be a survivor and want to do that trauma work. So I do kind of the today, day-to-day stuff in advocacy. Yeah. I do some legal and cultural advocacy, and then the therapists do that kind of deeper work. And then our program coordinators and our community coordinators help us with a lot of the kind of spearheading a lot of the public stuff that we do. We do presentations on a variety of topics, mm-hmm. because we're not just looking to on kind of the back end support survivors, but also on the front end trying to go a little further upstream and kind of educate the public so that not only can people be more supportive to survivors, but maybe at some point in time we could end violence against men, women, children, people of all genders and ages.
And more specifically, Native men, women, and children.
Absolutely. What brings us all here today, and thank you for welcoming us in, by the way, you folks will be a vendor at the upcoming Break the Chains of Human Trafficking 5K. And I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about what folks can expect when they stop by your table in the vendor area. Talk about perhaps some of the resources that you have available for event goers.
Well, Chelsea's going to be doing the walk because she's strong and capable of that. I'm not doing that that weekend. I'll be standing at the booth. So we'll have, you know, brochures and information about the program. We'll have a little bit of swag, you know, some things to give away, some things to pick up and take with you. But I'm always open for conversations about not just what services we have, but, you know, ideas and thoughts on how people can, you know, get help for themselves, or, you know, talking about boundaries and you know, how to do self-care. Like, I really kind of see us as an organization that supports people in general. And so, you know, if somebody comes by and they're having a rough day, we'll support them. You know, that's what we do. You know, we like to raise people up and help them make it through the day, you know. So we'll probably have water, you know, so people can have something to drink as they go by. But I'm always available for a good conversation.
Yes, so I'll be participating this year in the 5K. Last year, I hung out at the table and talked to the other vendors. But this year, I decided to participate to encourage our employees here at Kalish Tribal Health to come support. I'm definitely going to be standing out. You're going to notice me. I'm going to be decked out in all red. I'll be carrying a sign that will probably have something along the lines of MMIW around it. So as a program coordinator, I've worked as a program coordinator with the Pathways to Healing program for the last 2 years. And within the last year, I've been doing a lot of work around missing and murdered Indigenous women. So I've created my own workshop. It's an hour to hour and a half long workshop that focuses on the grassroots movement and current laws and research around missing and murdered Indigenous women in Washington State. And I close off the end of my presentation telling my aunt's story. My aunt was murdered in downtown Seattle in 1998, and her murderer was never apprehended. So my family hasn't seen justice since then. And currently, across the nation, this movement has been gaining strength. It's been like a snowball effect. Actually, Washington State is on the forefront of this movement as far as like laws and research. So I've taken it upon myself to dedicate this my walk here in your 5K, the Federal Way 5K, dedicated to missing and murdered Indigenous women. So yeah, you'll see me out there. I'll be wearing all red. I'll be carrying a sign. You definitely won't be able to miss me, I'll tell you that. And I'm very excited to do that, and honored and humbled to stand up for Native women across Washington State, and for Cowlitz people, and for my tribes also, in honor of them.
That was going to bring me to a question I was going to ask later, but the folks that I've spoken to for this project, they're all incredibly passionate, this type of advocacy and this type of work. And Chelsea, thank you for sharing your story. That's incredibly personal, and I'd like to ask folks, what draws them to this type of advocacy, to this type of work? And Judy, I was wondering if you could speak on that a little.
That's a really long story. So I'm not really big on trauma porn, I like to call it. But I am a survivor. I do identify as a survivor of domestic violence, sexual assault, commercial sexual exploitation. And I have always been involved in human services and in the helping field. And this is just kind of furthering my passion and my work. What I know is that working for the Cowlitz tribe has been a blessing for me because the disproportionality of Native women and children in human trafficking in particular is it's outstanding in that it's disgusting. The percentage and the numbers is far greater than in any other cultural group. And so, you know, what I know as a person who is serving people is that I'm compelled to work with the folks who need the most help. And to have that voice, I get to use my privilege to use my voice and speak up for people, because we need as many allies as we can have. You know, we need everybody on the team. And I encourage anybody, you know, who has a passion to support and to help. You know, there's lots of ways to get involved. You know, being involved in a 5K is a really great way to get started, but there's lots of other ways people can get involved. You know, get educated about the issues, get interested in you know, what's happening politically, you know, vote, join campaigns, you know, whatever it is you need to do, but do something. Do something to make this movement yours. Because the truth is, you know, when we help the people who are in the margins, everybody gets centered. When we start in the center and deal with people who are, I mean, let's call it out. Let's say we work with white people. We're leaving all the marginalized voices off the table. And so if we start by centering the marginalized voices, we always are still covering everybody else. And people don't understand that. And so I think it's extra important to, you know, deal with these issues. You know, I admire Chelsea's passion, you know, in working with MMIW, but I don't just stand back and admire it. You know, I support her and I encourage and I, you know, I'm involved, you know, to the extent that I can be, because I think that, you know, we all need to be there. We all need to be supporting.
As I was listening, a question I wanted to ask is, I've heard both of you mentioned that specifically the indigenous population is vulnerable to these trafficking situations. Could you elaborate on that? Because I honestly don't have much background or education on that, and I thought perhaps that might be valuable for folks that are listening.
Well, in my eyes, as a Native woman, we're not just vulnerable, we're preyed upon. Mm-hmm. Since contact with settlers back in 1492, we've been looked at as subhuman. So when you're not even looking at a person, a Native American, indigenous person of this land, as not even a human being, you're preying upon them. And not only for their bodies, for their land, for their languages, to assimilate them, to commit genocide. That's my history and my people and the people of this land. So for me, human trafficking, sexual assault, violence upon Native women, it all goes hand in hand with certain things. Men needing to hold other men accountable, white men needing to hold other white men accountable, current laws and ignorance and bias that occurs in non-Native people that hold positions of power, judges, court staff, juries, police. When you look at when you think about certain things like hiring people of color into management positions, like we have a new representative, her name is Deborah Lekanoff. She's the first Native American woman to be elected to the House of Representatives in the Washington state, and that was in 2019. So obviously we're making strides in those things, but to me, they're all interconnected, these intersectionalities. When you start recognizing us as human beings, start putting us in positions of power and start putting, like Judy said, putting us in the center of things like this podcast, that's, for me, is going to create a ripple effect and hopefully knock out the issues of human trafficking, sexual violence, and violence against Native women that is currently a crisis and has been a crisis since 1492, but nobody cared. Nobody is really truly want to listen. Everybody just wants to shove it under the rug. But certain things since Standing Rock, you know, the American Indian movement in the 1970s that take over Fort Lawton, which is how Unite Indians of All Tribes Foundation was founded here in the city of Seattle, kind of, and then, you know, Standing Rock kind of has like spearheaded this MMIW movement, and this is a woman's movement. We're the face of this movement, so we're making it loud and clear that you're not going to prey upon us no more. We're not going to be vulnerable, and you're going to look at us as human beings, and we're going to hold you accountable in correcting all these acts of, you know, racism, genocide in the past.
And I just want to support that. You know, when you use the word vulnerable, when you say Indigenous peoples are vulnerable, it takes the focus and puts it in the wrong place. You know, back in the early days of movements for domestic violence and sexual assault, the focus was on, you know, how do we help these women, you know, not get sexually assaulted, and how do we help these women learn how to not get into domestic violence relationships? And the truth is, where the focus needs to be is on men. The focus needs to be on the perpetrators, not the victims. And we need to take a look at how do we change the language. So, you know, I love that you changed it from, you know, it's not that Indigenous peoples are vulnerable, it's that they're preyed upon. And that means that the, you know, the white folks and the people with power and people with money, those folks are preying upon Indigenous people and you know, other marginalized groups. You know, the more marginalization you add onto somebody, the further down the ladder they go, right? If you add, so say you have a woman, right? She's one step behind the man on the ladder of, you know, power. And then you add that it's an Indigenous woman, and gosh, you know, add that maybe they're transgender or gay, and then add that maybe they're disabled. Like, all of a sudden they have not even no voice. It's like negative voice. It's like they're talking into the ethers and nobody can even hear them. And the truth is the problem isn't that they don't have a voice. It's they're talking. They're not being listened to. So the change needs to happen, you know, where the power is, and people need to stop limiting options and stop abusing people and stop, you know, abusing that power. And so, like, that's what I think the movement, you know, in a lot of ways is changing. You know, we're trying to change the language. We're trying to help people understand. You know, I don't always say, what was it? You know, to change it instead of telling women to stand up and be strong. There's plenty of strong women standing up. We need to change it and say, men, you know, leave the space. You know, you guys need to create the space. That's your responsibility. Your responsibility is to listen. Your responsibility is to allow that space, not allow that space, to recognize that that's a space that already exists. And so that's, you know, our focus around here. We do a lot of work with, you know, supporting victims, but our goal is to, you know, flip that around and get out and change the language and the community and the focus.
Lively conversation. I really appreciate you getting that. Well, and that's the point of all this, honestly, is like, you know, don't shy away from stuff, because like I felt it. It's like the opportunity to either like just keep going or like, no, let's dig more into this and kind of blow the lid off and stuff. So I really appreciate all of the information that's incredibly helpful. Because like even just speaking for myself, I'm in a spot where I'm still learning. Mm-hmm. So like that's part of the reason why this is speaking to me, and that it's like I have a lot to learn.
Right.
So I hope that by my learning, I'm helping other folks learn.
You are. Yeah. You are, absolutely. Right. Just by being here. Right. You are.
And it's hard stuff to look at. You know, our society creates a space where the Native American issues, the Indigenous people issues, is like in the past. And like anything that's happening now is like, it's about you and just get over it. And it's like, no, it isn't in the past. These problems are today. And it has been going on since then. And, you know, again, you know, my voice lent to this story, to this process, is that, you know, it isn't upon Indigenous people to change it.
Right.
It's upon the rest of us to make the change. You know, we're the ones responsible. I'm part of the system that creates the problem. And it's my responsibility to step up and learn and change and figure out how to do things different. Well, Chelsea and I do a lot of different workshops. We just did one back in January together with Karen, which was a really powerful workshop on allyship and, you know, talking about the history and looking at how the indigenous folks here have been, you know, put in a position, right, to be abused, and then talking about our responsibility to make those changes. Chelsea, you do a lot of really amazing things.
Yeah, like the workshop that I was telling you about, I call it the Spirit of Resiliency, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Presentation. And over the past year, I've been going all over the place. So I've presented at the Native Action Network. It's a young Native Women's Leadership Conference. And actually, that's happening next week. So on May 15th, 16th. They'll be hosting that conference at the Great Wolf Lodge at Chehalis, Washington.
Okay.
And I've gone out into the Seattle community a lot this past year. So I've been to the Overlake High School in Redmond, Washington for their Martin Luther King Jr. Day celebration. I presented my workshop at the James A. Garfield High School Martin Luther King Jr. A celebration. I'm also a Bulldog. Go Bulldogs. I'm an alumnus of Garfield High School. I've been to the Rainier Beach High School here in Seattle, Washington for their Building Leaders of Change block party and
hey,
presented.
Talk about last week.
What was last week?
Friday.
What was it? What?
Mayor.
Oh, the mayor. Okay. Yeah, I've been doing a lot. So much work. So Rainier Beach High School. I was just at the Native Student Success Summit at Highline College. And also, May 5th nationally is Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Day of Awareness / Remembrance. And that's because of Hannah Harris. She's an enrolled member of the Northern Cheyenne Tribe from the Montana. And she was brutally murdered in 2013. Her family took it, wanted to raise awareness and bring light to their daughter's untimely murder. So they connected with a senator in Montana, and that senator took it to the U.S. Capitol, to Congress, where Congress declared May 5th, which was Hannah Harris's birthday, as MMIW Day of Awareness. And that was in 2017. And since then, the MMIW movement has just been snowballing. Different states, different cities are doing proclamations. The city of Seattle did their proclamation in 2018, and I took it upon myself to ask the mayor of Tukwila, Alan Ekberg, to do a proclamation here in the city of Tukwila, not only because I live here, but also because I work here, but because I am a Native woman and I'm a survivor. So he was very humble and graceful. He brought us the proclamation on Friday, May 3rd. We invited the Kalich tribal members in the Kalich drum group to come up from Longview. We had drumming, we had singing. The mayor read the proclamation here at Kalich Tribal Health last Friday in front of a crowd of people. And after that, we invited everybody inside for lunch, where then I presented the spirit of resiliency, my presentation to the mayor of Tukwila and employees here. And that was really a profound moment for me. Not only because it's good government-to-government relations, right, that the mayor of Tukwila is coming over to Kalich Tribal Health, because I know that I'm getting these people who I've made a vow to myself that I'm not going to let people of power, like I was talking about, these court judges, mayors, police, court staff, judges, forget that ignorance and that violence. But I'm also going to spread my aunt's story. My aunt had to spend 18 months in King County Jail after the murder of her abusive partner, prior to her own murder, because a superior court judge in King County would not let her use the battered woman's defense. And it was in self-defense that she murdered him. And also on top of that, they had to switch out judges because it was documented that the judges were raising their eyebrows, laughing at her, and making faces at her in court. Mm-hmm. So she went through the first, and also the first two trials were in hung jury. So the jurors were documented saying that if they would have let my aunt use the battered woman's defense in court, that they would have voted to acquit her. Mm-hmm. And so within that story and within my presentation, I weave that story into all Native women's plight, you know, since contact with settlers and the issue of violence against Native women. But like I said, I made that vow to myself over this last year while doing all these presentations throughout the community to people in power like the mayor, or even going into my community for that prevention, talking to middle schoolers, talking to high schoolers about my aunt's story. I made that vow that I'm not going to let the city of Seattle forget. I'm not going to let people in power forget my aunt's story. And for me, it's a profound thing for me because I know I'm doing it in a good way. I'm honoring my aunt in a good way, and it's creating healing within myself and within my family. And I know that's a ripple effect that's going mm-hmm. in my community, and that's mm-hmm. hitting those people of power that I'm trying to hit.
And talking about people of power, the mayor gave that proclamation to our tribal chair, the Cowlitz Tribal Council Chair, Patty Kinswa-Geiser. She came up, and not only did she receive the proclamation, but then she sat and listened to Chelsea's presentation and was moved. So it's really, you know, the information getting out there is really, really important. When I was doing the presentation that I did yesterday was on allyship, and you know, I talk about how to support people, and one of the things that I work really hard at that I'm not good at, right? I'm not good at all this, right? Yeah, I still work, is, you know, sharing the stage, right? It's really, really hard for me. You know, I came from a large family, and if you didn't get really loud and you didn't get up the first of the line, you didn't get anything. And so that's how I've made it in my career, is just being, you know, forward and moving and moving. And so, you know, my first response when you ask a question is to jump in and give an answer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I do that in school, and I do that in public, and I, you know, I do that when I do presentations, and I'm learning, you know, that I need to not be the center, you know, that the Indigenous voices need to be the center, especially when we're doing a podcast on Indigenous voices.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, it's something that we all have to work on and you know, continue to strive for. But like yesterday, you know, during Carolyn DeFord did a presentation on MMIW at the conference, and something I recognized that was really, really intense for me was, you know, she does a part where she shows the faces, and you know, she doesn't tell the story of each person, but she says something about each of them. You know, says their name out loud, and I'm in this room of hundreds of people, and there's people paying attention, but there's people in the corner talking, and there's people looking at their phones, and like, I had to stand up and honor, you know, like, I just was in the back of the room, and I didn't go to the stage, and I didn't holler or anything, but just for my own personal, you know, like, I had to honor those people that are missing and murdered, you know, because their names were being said, you know? And so, like, I looked at the people at my table like, you know, come on. And I stood up and I just stood there, you know? And by the end of the presentation, I was in tears, and I thought to myself, you know, how can anybody be sitting in this room with dry eyes right now? Like, if you're paying attention, how could you miss this? You know, and I do this work, and we're supposed to be, you know, strong and, you know, and I have that, you know, commitment, and that, you know, I do my own therapy, and, you know, I do all that. But like, those are people's aunts and sisters and nieces and moms. And, you know, there was a young man up there that's missing, and like, all these people are, you know, and like, you know, things have happened in my family. You know, my father passed away of cancer, but like, I knew where he was. I can't imagine going to bed at night and you don't know where your family members are. And what I know is that people aren't talking about it, and so people don't hear. And then when people do talk about it, they're still not hearing because they're not listening. They're not listening from their heart. They're going, yeah, 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 that's information. Yeah, 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 I'm learning. Okay. Wait, stop. Breathe, feel that. These are human beings. And you're just ticking them off as just another person or just another slide, you know. And it was really, really, really overwhelming for me, you know. And I wanted to just jump up and be like, stop what you're doing and listen, people. This isn't just a training. Listen to what's happening here. And it's a really big deal. And we have to do this work and we can't stop.
Well, and that's one of the things that strikes me so much about the upcoming 5K is that it's, you know, it's going to be this sea of people that is undeniable. You know, meaning like, mm-hmm. you know, everybody with the signs and the brightly colored shirts and all that. It's just like, you know, there's an opportunity to stop and say, well, let's really ask some hard questions. We look at, you know, the natures and causes of these problems and what we can do to prevent these situations as a community. So I really appreciate both of your passions and sharing your stories and insights with us. As we get ready to wrap up, because we do still have some time left, first, before I forget, could you let folks know where people can connect with Pathways to Healing on the internet or perhaps social media, or where folks can go to get more information, and then we'll close out with you know, if there's any other programs you'd like to discuss or any other any particular topics that in our last time here. Floor is yours.
The address here is 15455 65th Avenue South in Tukwila, 98188. The front desk number is 206-721-5170. And we do have a variety of programs that we offer here, and each one has a different set of requirements. So we have outpatient mental health services and outpatient SUD, substance use disorder services, and then our program, the Pathways to Healing. So if anybody wants to talk to somebody about Pathways to Healing, they can contact that number and just ask for the program, or Judy or Chelsea.
We also have a Facebook page. So if you go to Facebook, just type in Pathways to Healing. You'll see a blue ribbon with like an eagle feather on it. It has a little bit of purple in it. But I believe it's a fairly unique name. So Pathways to Healing, Tukwila, Washington. Our clinic itself also has a Facebook page. So if you go to Facebook and type in Cowlitz Tribal Health Seattle, you should see our clinic pop up. We're not on the gram or the snap or nothing like that. But
So the program is Cowlitz Tribe Pathways to Healing. That's the name of the Facebook.
Cowlitz Tribe Pathways to Healing. That's on Facebook.
Right. And then the this Seattle office is Cowlitz Tribe Tribal Health Seattle. Yeah. So those are the two Facebook pages.
Okay.
And you can see us at the, obviously, the Federal Way Coalition.
Woohoo!
Break the Chains of Human Trafficking 5K on the 18th. You're also going to see Pathways to Healing at the Native Action Network Conference at the Great Wolf Lodge. You can also see us at the Washington Coalition of Sexual Assault Programs Tribal Gathering on May 22nd. I could probably keep going here, but I'm not. Those are like the next big things going up. And I'm currently looking into the Genesis Project Freedom Walk 5K to end trafficking in SeaTac on June 8th. I guess that's like a new thing that's happening. So I'm definitely trying to get involved with that. That's right around the corner from us. And that's a very vital, huge part, recognizable thing. When people think about Seattle and human trafficking, they think about Pack Highway. Absolutely. They think about Tukwila International Boulevard. They think about Tukwila SeaTac area. Yep. And we're right here in that neighborhood. So I'm really excited to learn more about that. Also, not only to be a repeat vendor at the Federal Way Coalition, because you guys are doing amazing work and you guys have been so warm and inviting to us, but also to look into this other 5K. I think it's super important what you guys are doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, Yeah, no, that's wonderful. And the thing that I find so encouraging about all that is that there's an increasing number of allies, and what that seems to me, that word is getting out.
Mm-hmm.
Awareness is spreading.
Mindsets are changing. People are changing their way of thinking and how they view human trafficking as sexual violence and domestic violence. Absolutely. I see the change also.
Absolutely.
It gives me hope as a young Native woman. You know, I'm 30 years old. It really gives me hope to the future for the younger generations coming in behind me, that they won't have to grow up being sexually abused, being human trafficked, violence being perpetrated against them at every space and service that they come across. And I'm really thankful that, like Judy was saying earlier, that I work for the Cowlitz tribe. This has been the best job that I've ever had in my whole life, where we're just a powerhouse here in Tukwila. Like, we're, and not in every single way, shape, or form. We just bought the building next door to us. We're taking over the whole block. So this is going to be not only a takeover of Tukwila Native style, but it's a powerhouse of healing and change right here in our community, right down the block from that Pack Highway, where there's been huge history of that of human trafficking.
Yeah, the services provided here, you know, are top notch. We work with some of the most amazing chemical dependency counselors and mental health therapists. We're blessed with some incredible administration. But what's really, really powerful in my book is the Cowlitz Tribal Council is behind our program 100%. Not just other programs, they take insurance, you know, they bring in some revenue. Our program makes zero money for the tribe, and they're still 100% behind us and support us in doing the work that we do because they believe it's that important. And so we're really grateful. And, you know, I raise my hands up. I raise my hands up to the Cowlitz Tribal Council.
Ha ho, Guyana.
Well, this has been a wonderfully enlightening conversation. I really appreciate you both taking the time to educate me and educate our listeners and sharing all that wonderful information. Before we go our separate ways for now, any final thoughts that you'd like to leave folks with?
Get involved, get involved, get involved. That's the most important thing. Educate yourself, get involved. Oh, and we want to raise our hands up to the Duwamish people whose land we get to work on.
How could we forget? Sorry, Duwamish.
Yeah. I mean, those are the things, right? Like, I didn't know that before I came here, you know, and Chelsea here educates me all the time. She's always on podcasts and listening to stuff and learning new things, and I get to learn all kinds of stuff, you know, but that's our responsibility, is to keep getting educated and getting involved, you know. If you have any resources or any time or any interest in supporting, there's always a way.
Yes, usually we do that land acknowledgement in the beginning. Yes, so yes, we are on traditional Duwamish lands here in Tukwila, Washington, and across Seattle. To any Native listeners listening, any Native women, any Native men, children, you know, there's hope out there. Don't give up. You're not alone in whatever you're going through, whether it's that human trafficking, that sexual violence. You're still dealing with that intergenerational trauma, that historical trauma. You're not alone out there. There's help. Cowlitz Tribal Health is here. Seattle Indian Health Board is here. United Indians of All Tribes is here for you. Reach out. Get involved in your community. And for anybody else that's listening and that learned something from this today, connect to us, like our Facebook page. There's more you can do than listen to these podcasts. We got ideas for you. So ha ho, Guyana, for listening.
And please remember, we don't just serve Cowlitz Tribal members. So if you're interested in services, no matter your background, you know, please look into talking to us. If you don't qualify, we'll find you some place where you will.
Yep.
Awesome. Chelsea, Judy, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
Ha ho, Guyana.
Thank you.
Break the Chains of Human Trafficking is a presentation of Mike Seibert Radio in conjunction with Federal Way Coalition Against Trafficking. It will take a community effort to eliminate human trafficking in our community. We invite you to join us. How can you help? Volunteer. Use your unique skills and talents to raise awareness and further the fight against human trafficking. Speak up. Use your voice to influence and strengthen legislation. Learn. Educate yourself and share your knowledge with others. Donate. Use your resources to help prevent future cases of human trafficking. For more information, including registration for the Break the Chains of Human Trafficking 5K Awareness Walk happening on May 18th, check out Federal Way CAT on Facebook or go to the website www.fwcat.org. Thank you for listening. It takes.